Persigo Press presents the Henry Rios Mysteries podcast. Hello, this is Michael Nava, author of a series of crime novels featuring Henry Rios, a gay Mexican-American criminal defense lawyer, and the producer of this podcast. Today we present Lay Your Sleeping Head, the first novel in the series. Lay Your Sleeping Head opens in the summer of 1982 in the fictional town of Linden, California, 30 miles south of San Francisco. Linden is the home of the prestigious university of the same name, founded in the 19th century by railroad tycoon Grover Linden. Henry Rios is a public defender, born and raised in a small town in California's Central Valley and from a working-class Mexican-American family. He is a graduate of Linden University and its top-ranked law school. In 1982, there is no internet. People smoke in bars and on airplanes. Most gay men are closeted, and no one has heard of AIDS. It's an America where 83% of the people identify as white, 85% as Christian, and 83% say that homosexuality is morally wrong. Ronald Wilson Reagan, who once declared that trees cause more pollution than automobiles, is the president of the United States. In this episode, Rios approaches Hugh's estranged mother for help with his investigation into Hugh's death and has a disturbing conversation with an old friend.
Hello?
Henry, it's Grant.
Hello, Grant. Nice to hear from you.
Maybe you should wait to hear what I have to say first. I talked to John Smith over the weekend. He won't help with looking into Hugh's death.
Did he say why?
He said Hugh was the closest thing he had to his son, and he wouldn't stand for anyone picking over his corpse. He told me if I cared at all for Hugh, I'd leave him in peace.
Did you tell him that Hugh thought he had evidence connecting the judge to the accident that killed Smith's sister and nephew?
I tried to, but he got quite angry. He said he expected better of me than to revive malicious gossip about his family.
I would think if he cared for Hugh as much as he says he does, he'd want to know if he was murdered.
He's an old man. He doesn't seem well. He had to keep himself from crying several times during our conversation, and believe me, the John Smith I know is not an emotional man. Hugh's death really knocked him off balance. I got the impression he just wants to put all this behind him. I'm sorry.
Don't apologize. You tried. I'm sorry we upset him.
What will you do now?
I'm going to the university to talk to Hugh's mother, Catherine. Do you know her?
Only by reputation. We've never met.
What's her reputation?
She's from an old Boston family. An alcoholic, a very bad one if my mom is to be believed. A dancing naked in public fountains and having affairs kind of drunk. After she and Hugh's father were divorced, she went back to Boston, where, I gather, she sobered up and started publishing poetry. I guess she's kind of famous. I heard she teaches at the university for part of the year, but no one ever sees her in the city.
With that reputation, it seems a little strange she could come back to California at all.
But Nick is here, her husband, Hugh's father. She comes back to see him.
Hugh blamed her for abandoning him to his grandfather.
That wasn't her choice. The judge had her declared an unfit parent because of her drinking and got custody of Hugh.
More gossip?
Yeah, but probably accurate. What are you going to ask her?
To allow an independent autopsy of Hugh's body.
Because?
Because the cops won't reopen the investigation into his death as long as they can hide behind the coroner's finding of accidental overdose. If an independent examination comes up with a different finding, the cops would be forced to take another look.
I see. And you think there's evidence for a different finding?
There are unexplained injuries to Hugh's body that the police coroner ignored.
That can't be easy for you. Maybe John Smith is right. Maybe we all should let Hugh rest in peace.
He was murdered. What makes you think he's resting in peace?
John Smith told me he'd failed Hugh. But it was too late to change that, and he would just have to learn to live with it.
Is that what you think is going on with me? That I'm doing all this because I think I failed him?
All I'm saying is that Hugh is beyond anyone's help. Rather than reopen old family wounds, maybe the best thing you could do is walk away from this mess and remember him for what he was to you.
And let his killers go unpunished? Where is the justice in that?
Before you can get justice, you have to make the case he was killed. And it doesn't sound like you have enough.
Not yet. Look, this is my obsession, not yours. It's okay if you want to wash your hands of me.
But I don't. Can we have dinner tonight? I want to return Hugh's journal and, well, I'd like to see you.
I'd like that too. Why don't you come by around 7?
Good. I'll see you then. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Grant. I drove to campus to see Catherine Paris. I hadn't called ahead because I didn't want to give her the chance to refuse. The walkways of the old quad were filled with students talking and laughing, and the air smelled of freshly cut grass. It was the kind of day that made me nostalgic for my own student days. But now, knowing what I did about the Linden family, the sunlight seemed a little less bright, the shadows a little darker. It felt less safe. The break into my apartment, the warnings about my safety from Gold. And Terry Orms had me looking over my shoulder. I headed to the bookstore to buy one of Catherine Paris's books, which I hoped would soften the ambush I had planned. As I walked through the store, I felt eyes on me, like I was being followed. I glanced around. A guy in a red university hoodie stepped into an aisle as if to hide from me. I continued up the stairs to the poetry section. When I got to the poetry books, I thought I saw a flash of red out of the corner of my eye. I quickly turned and saw the same guy disappear behind the tall bookshelf. I was trying to decide whether I was being paranoid when he stepped into the aisle, one hand digging into his pocket like he was reaching for something. My heart jumped. But then he smiled. I took a closer look at him. He was a kid, 19 or 20, probably an undergrad. Then I noticed a lambda button pinned to his sweatshirt, the symbol of gay pride. I realized I wasn't being tailed. I was being cruised. Are you following me?
Maybe. Do you want me to be following you? I'm Danny.
I'm Henry.
You like poetry? That's a good sign. I mean, what straight guy likes poetry, right?
You're cruising me. I must be 15 years older than you.
I like older men. They know what to do.
Okay, well, thanks, I guess. Anyway, I'm not here looking for a date. I'm looking for a book.
Whose book?
A poet named Catherine Paris.
Really? I know her. Here, this is her last collection.
How do you know her?
I'm taking her poetry workshop this quarter. Oh, I'm an English major. And a junior. So, I'm legal.
I'm happy for you. Tell me about Mrs. Paris. Where did you meet her?
She gave a reading last spring, and afterwards a bunch of us went to dinner with her.
What's she like?
She gave a great reading, but at dinner she just smoked and drank tea and seemed kind of sad. Or maybe she was just tired.
Do you know where I can find her?
Yeah, I can take you to her office. Or we could just go to my room. I have a single in the dorms.
Just give me directions to her office. Things have really changed since I was an undergrad here. I wouldn't have dreamed of wearing a lambda button or cruising a stranger in the bookstore. How did you even know I was gay?
I didn't, but you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. You sure you don't want to come back to my room with me? I'm a lot more fun than Professor Paris.
I'm sure you are, but it's important that I see her.
Are you going to buy her book?
Yeah.
Here, give it to me for a minute. This is my favorite poem. The scent you say is not scent rises from warm ports between neck and shoulder. Scent that isn't witch hazel, vetiver, camphor, lemon, but is just your skin.
I can't believe you're trying to seduce me on the second floor of the bookstore.
Is it working?
Where's Professor Paris's office?
In the old quad in the English department. I don't know the room number, but it's next door to the department secretary. Here's my number.
Thanks, Danny.
Bye, Henry. Call me.
Catherine Paris was small, slender, and elegant. Her features were a female version of Hugh's, once as delicate as his, but now hardened into middle age. Her eyes were the same blue, but while his had sparkled, hers were frozen. She looked warily at me and the book I had held out for her to sign.
I don't think you came here just so I could sign the book. Who did you say you were?
My name is Henry Rios. And you're right. I didn't just drop by to have you sign your book for me. I was a friend of Hugh's.
Really? You don't look like a junkie.
I'm not. I'm a lawyer, Mrs. Paris.
Ah. If Hugh owed you money for getting him out of a jam, you'll have to build his estate. I'm not responsible for my son's debts.
I wasn't his lawyer. I was his lover.
Oh, his lover. Have you come to blackmail me with my son's homosexuality? Because if you have, there's no money in it. Being gay was the least of Hugh's problems.
I identified his body. I gave the police your name so you could claim him. I'm not here to shake you down.
Then what do you want?
I want to talk to you about the circumstances of his death.
The police said he still had the needle in his arm when they found him. The circumstances seem pretty clear to me.
I know for a fact Hugh had been clean for 9 months before he died. I also know he wanted to live.
If you believed him when he told you he was clean, then you're a fool. Hugh was a hopeless drug addict. It was only a matter of time before he killed himself.
Is that why you don't seem too broken up by it?
I watched my son die by inches for over a decade, like someone sinking in quicksand. Time and time again I tried to pull him out, but he chose to sink. I don't have any more tears for my son, and if I did, They're not for you to see. Now get to the point or get out.
Hugh was murdered.
What?
Someone attacked him, held him down, and gave him the overdose that killed him.
How could you possibly know that?
I've seen the autopsy report. There were injuries that were inconsistent with that of an accidental overdose, but the coroner and the cops chose to ignore them.
You had no right to read the autopsy report.
That's not really the point. The point is that the coroner made a mistake. An independent autopsy would—
Stop! Who do you think you are? What gives you the right to come in here and tell me my son was murdered and ask me to have someone cut him up again?
I'm someone who loved him. Someone who wants justice for him.
What you are is a ghoul. Now get out before I call campus security.
Mrs. Paris!
Get out!
I stepped out of her office and leaned against the wall to compose myself. I heard her pick up her phone and dial. I edged a little closer to the open door.
Yes, this is Catherine Paris. I'd like to speak to Aaron Gold. I see. Well, please have him call me as soon as he can. No, he has the number. He'll know what it's about. Thank you.
Aaron, over here.
Hey, what was so urgent that you had to drag me out of my office?
Sit down. I ordered you a drink.
It's 11:30 in the morning, Henry. Even I have my standards. But since it's already here, bottoms up. So?
I've been asking questions about Hugh's death. The trail leads back to you, Aaron.
What are you talking about?
You work for the firm that represents the judge. You knew he was being followed. You had access to the letters he wrote to his grandfather. And this morning, Catherine Paris called you after I talked to her. You're up to your neck in this, and I have a lot of questions. What did Catherine Paris tell you?
Whatever Mrs. Paris and I talked about is protected by the privilege.
She's your client too? Is there anyone in that family that you don't represent?
My client list is none of your business. But if she were my client, I'd want to know, where the fuck do you get off telling a grieving mother her son was murdered?
I didn't see any signs of grief, and he was murdered.
You're out of your mind.
Am I? A few nights ago, I went into the city to talk to Hugh's prep school classmate, who was one of the last people to see Hugh alive. When I left his apartment, I was kidnapped and drugged. The guys that did it, they wanted to know what Hugh had told me about his grandfather. They stranded me in the city, then broke into my apartment and took papers that Hugh said proved the judge had his wife and son killed. What do you know about that?
I don't know anything about a break-in, and the stuff you're saying about Judge Paris is libelous. So back off.
Did you read the letters Hugh wrote to his grandfather?
Yes.
Then you know they accused Judge Paris of being a murderer.
I know the guy who wrote them was a mentally unbalanced drug addict working on some kind of extortion scheme. I wanted to keep you out of that shitstorm.
There wasn't a demand for money in those letters.
It was implied. He would have gotten around to it eventually. He'd been begging money from the judge for years to support his habit. The judge refused. Hugh wanted revenge.
Or everything he said about the judge was true, and he wanted justice. The papers stolen from my apartment proved the judge was behind the deaths of his wife and son.
What? There was nothing incriminating. You're bluffing.
You were going to say there was nothing incriminating in them. But how would you know that unless you read them? And how would you have read them unless whoever broke into my apartment and stole them gave them to you? Aaron, you better talk, man, or I'm going to the cops.
Are you threatening me, Henry?
You know a lot more about this than you've told me, and I want to hear it, all of it.
Yeah, and I want to fuck Bo Derek.
You think this is a joke?
No, there's nothing funny about any of this. I told you Hugh Paris was trouble, but you refused to see him for what he was because you didn't have a boyfriend in high school. He wasn't some innocent kid. He was a mentally ill drug addict who invented sick fantasies about his grandfather.
Fantasies? Hugh was killed. I was abducted. My apartment was broken into and the documents were stolen. Murder, kidnapping, burglary. Someone's going to a lot of trouble to cover up a bunch of fantasies. And you know who it is.
He wasn't murdered. He overdosed. As for the rest of it, I've said everything I can. You want to go to the cops? Go ahead. When they come talk to me, I'll tell them you're a neurotic homosexual who quit his job to avoid being fired for being a drunk and who has developed an unhealthy obsession with a drug addict boyfriend who killed himself with an overdose.
You would really do that to me?
Don't make me. Just forget about Hugh Paris. Go back to work. Take a vacation. Get a dog. Do something to get out of your goddamn head and leave this.
No.
Then we don't have anything else to say to each other.
Is this really how we're going to end our friendship, Aaron? Sitting here, threatening each other?
You're asking me about things you know I can't talk about. Not even for friendship. Not even for you. Goodbye, Henry.
Aaron, wait.
Hey, Henry.
Hello. Grant. Come in.
Your eyes are red. Have you been crying?
You've caught me at a weak moment.
You want me to go?
No. If you leave, it's just me and a bottle. Oh, do you want a drink?
No. Thank you. What's going on?
You were right about Hugh's death. I should have left it alone. I feel like I've kicked over a rock and things are crawling out from underneath it that I didn't want to see.
What do you mean?
Catherine Perez kicked me out of her office. And then I had an ugly conversation about Hugh with an old friend that ended up with mutual threats, all because I can't let go, Grant. I can't let go of him.
Hugh.
We didn't finish what we started. I'm not even sure who he was anymore. Everyone I've talked to who actually knew him, you, his mother, paint a pretty dark picture. But even if he wasn't the man I fell in love with, he was still murdered. I can't just walk away from that. Sorry. Like I said, I'm not at my best.
I think you are. I've been attracted to you since the first time I saw you. But with everything going on, it never seemed like the right time to ask you out on a date.
Grant.
I want you. I'm not asking you to marry me. Just let me kiss you. Okay?
Yeah.
Bedroom through that door?
Yes.
Let's go then.
You've been listening to Lay Your Sleeping Head, a Henry Rios mystery. If you enjoyed this podcast, please spread the word on social media. We depend upon your support to keep this series going. For updates and behind-the-scenes extras, visit us at our Facebook page, The Henry Rios Mysteries, or at michaelnavawriter.com under the podcast tab. We'd also love to hear from you. Message us on Facebook or email us at persigopress@gmail.com. That's persigopress@gmail.com. This is an abridged version of the novel, Lay Your Sleeping Head. You can buy the complete novel at Amazon. For this episode, our cast was Armando Rey as Henry Rios, Douglas Georgas as Grant Hancock, Scarlett Hepworth as Catherine Paris, Dean Larson as Aaron Gold, and Justin Lopez as Danny. Our director is Russell Kaltschmidt. Our sound engineer is Dave Peck. Music and sound effects were composed by Josh DeRosa. This episode was written and produced by Michael Nava. Thank you for listening.